Well, thank you. I'm excited again to be back in Fremont. Like Rich said, this is the best Husker lunch in Nebraska. So we are really excited for the support you guys show every week. Steve will be back. He drives a motorcycle now, so you got to give Steve a lot of crap. He's a Harley. He's got a nice Harley, so he'll probably. And what I don't like about what I don't like about the motorcycle is Simple and I used to always talk when he's going somewhere, I'm going somewhere. Now he can't be on his phone, so we don't talk near as much because he's always on the motorcycle driving in. But it's been an exciting off season, and it's hard to believe. I mean, Nebraska was 4-8, and it sure didn't feel that way. And a lot of it, obviously, was people are smart enough to see the big picture of what's going on right now, and the way they finished the year 4-2, but losing to Northwestern, you know, who won the Big Ten West. They should have beat Northwestern, taking Ohio State down to the wire and had a really good chance to win that game. If J.D. Spielman just catches that pass, Nebraska goes up 28-17 and started the fourth quarter at that point. And then obviously the Iowa game, they had that in their hands too. So just everybody could get a feel where this thing was going. And then obviously Martinez. I mean, he's been the real difference maker for this program. And I think everybody had an expectation level of what he was going to be. And he met that and exceeded that. And that is so hard to do for a true freshman. And now he's a team captain as a sophomore, which in the history of Nebraska football, there has never been a voted team captain sophomore. Joe Daly was appointed a captain as a sophomore by Bill Callahan in 04. Bill appointed the captains himself that year, but there's never been a team-voted sophomore captain in the history of Nebraska football. And it's a number of things. I mean, Nebraska this year doesn't have a lot of seniors. And, you know, there's been 27 scholarship players that have come and gone from this program for various different reasons since April of 2018. So the roster turnover has been pretty constant with the coaching change. So Martinez has kind of put himself in the right position to be a leader of this program, despite the fact he's going into his true sophomore year of college. And I mean, you look at the stuff that's out there. He's number four right now on the Heisman Trophy board. You know, he's arguably in contention to be Big Ten Player of the Year. I think when you look at this season, if he's healthy, there's no reason why he shouldn't shatter every offensive single season quarterback record in the school's history because of the offense Nebraska plays. I think the offense will allow his numbers to be off the charts. His numbers last year were good, but remember, he missed the Troy game. He missed the fourth quarter against Colorado, and he only played a half of the Michigan game, and they limited him in that game with his leg. So he missed about two games. He only played 10 games and had those numbers still. So to think what he's going to do potentially at 13, 14 games this year, there's no doubt I think he's going to have a record type of year if he stays healthy. And the good thing is I think the depth of the quarterback position, and Jerry DiNardo said this too, Nebraska right now has the deepest group of quarterbacks maybe in the Big Ten Conference. Noah Vedral is the number two, and he's played in games for Scott Frost here and at Central Florida. Then Luke McCaffrey, the true freshman, has been outstanding. As far as his knowledge of the offense, the staff has said they've never had a freshman understand the game better than him. They gave all the quarterbacks a 722 question test. It's one of Mario Verduzco's deals, and he scored higher on it than any incoming player he's ever had. So that's promising. And how many other teams can say this? Their fourth string quarterback started a game last year. So it kind of tells you where the quarterback position was a year ago, where it is now, that the number four guy, Andrew Bunch, actually started a game last year against Troy. So they are in much better shape. And then they're going to bring in a guy in recruiting next year named Logan Smothers, who was a state qualifier in the 100, 200, and the 400. And, you know, I think he runs a 49, a 10, 10-9. He's a really, really good track athlete, quarterback. So that position is well on its way with where things are at with the guys they have in the program and then the guy they're going to add next year as well. And Mario Verduzco and Scott Frost have just done an outstanding job. I think people, when they see these guys out there offer a quarterback now, everybody is like, wow, Frost offered this guy. We better take a look, because they know with his track record of Mackenzie Milton and you know, some of the guys they've worked with all the way back to Oregon, that they know what they're looking for, and they have not been wrong on quarterbacks in their history here the last 10 plus years. So a lot of people have taken notice of what Nebraska's done with their quarterback recruiting. Running back is, you look at that position going in, they lost Ozigbo, but I still think it could be better than last year because it's deeper. Now, there are questions about Maurice Washington, if he's going to play Saturday. Scott Frost addressed that today about 10:45, 11 this morning after practice, and there's still no announcement on that, and it might be tonight, it might be Saturday. I think they're waiting to get more information on that situation from California. The court date that's been, you know, moved in several times is next week. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday is the scheduled court date. So there's a lot there going on still that they don't have answers to with his status. But in the meantime, they really like Dedrick Mills. I know some people are going to say, well, why is he any different than Greg Bell? The difference with Dedrick Mills is he's played major Division I college football. He was the leading rusher at Georgia Tech for Paul Johnson as a true freshman. He had 100-yard games as a true freshman at the highest level, had some off-the-field things, sent him down to Garden City, Kansas, had to do 2 years there because he got hurt his first year at Garden City. He got through that adversity and led the country in rushing, was the number one running back in the country from the JUCO ranks. And he's been all business. He's a physical, tough runner. Closest comparison, when I look at him, he reminds me of Brandon Jackson from 2004 to 2006. I think he's a real similar looking back. He's only 195, but he plays way bigger than 195. Ryan Held has said, you cannot tackle this guy with one arm. If you try to, you're not going to tackle him. So he will be that consistent 4 to 7, 8 yard guy. He's not going to have a bunch of 50, 60 yard runs, I don't think, but he's going to be that steady between the tackles runner they need in the Big Ten Conference. And every Scott Frost offense, when you study Oregon and all the places he's been, they've had a combination of a physical guy and the speed guys that can do everything. And they've got that right now, I think, in that backfield. Ramir Johnson was one of the fastest athletes in New Jersey. He's a true freshman. Wyatt Mazur, he's kind of the utility guy. He'll play a little bit this year as well. But then Wandell Robinson has been as good as advertised, and that's hard to do as a true freshman. He can play running back, receiver, return kicks, return punts. I look for him to make some plays Saturday. Everybody I've talked to that has seen practice this August always brings up Wandell Robinson. I mean, every time you talk about the offense. So there's a lot of excitement what he's going to bring. Miles Jones has had a good camp too. He plays receiver and running back, and the versatility they have helps the depth because they have receivers that can play running back and even running backs that can play receiver. Maurice Washington and Ramir Johnson can play receiver. So that versatility gives them options. And a lot of those good Oregon teams that Chip Kelly had, that's how they were. They had a lot of guys that could do both. And you're seeing Scott build that. They just took two running backs last week in recruiting, Sevion Morrison and Marvin Scott. And you can never have enough, as we've learned over the years with football. So that position, I think, is going to be an upgrade from a year ago, despite the fact they lost Devine. And Maurice Washington, I didn't even get into this, but he's probably had as good of a training camp as anybody on the team. He's run harder. You know, he hasn't gained a lot of weight, but I think he's reshaped his body and gotten stronger and more explosive. He's quicker. Maurice is just one of those guys. He's a natural football player. People forget he showed up to campus 2 or 3 days before the first practice. So he didn't lift here last year. He didn't eat here last year. Didn't train or anything. And he was good enough to do what he did on that. Now he's had a whole year of the program. And I do think he's matured a lot. He's become a better teammate. A year ago, I don't know if I could say that. I think he still had some growing up to do within the program and understanding the accountability and the discipline. So they're really happy with the strides Maurice has made going into his sophomore year. The receiver position right now, they lost Stanley Morgan, but I think I mentioned Wandell Robinson. Kennebi Noah is another guy they've added from Cal. He's a graduate transfer that has over 1,000 yards receiving in his career. Those to me will be the two guys that replace a lot of Stanley Morgan's production. You have J.D. Spielman. You know he's probably good for about 1,000 yards again this year as the other receiver. Mike Williams has had a solid camp. There's the off-the-field thing going on with Andre Hunt and Katerian Legrone. Don't really want to get into that because there's a lot of legal stuff that even law officials can't discuss or get into it, but it's not a good situation, and that's about all I'll say at this point. And you know, I don't think those guys will be back on the team. And if I had a guess today, but you know, you never know how things turn. But that's not a good deal, what's going on. And they were dismissed this week, and they weren't on the depth chart on Monday. And nobody asked Scott Frost, why is Andre Hunt not on the depth chart Monday? We probably would have found out that they were indefinitely suspended at that point. Then they told us yesterday on that situation. So we'll see where that one goes. But Andre Hunt was probably going to play and have a decent role. And he's done, at least for the foreseeable future at this point. But the other receivers, like Jerron Woodyard's had a solid showing. I think Cade Warner, you know, he's battled some injuries, but they like what he's going to do this year. But it's a deep group. They probably have seven or eight guys that they're going to play. And the tight end position, too, you know, they're at least three deep there. Austin Allen's had a really good camp. Adrian Martinez, as he's grown with his ability to see the entire field, he's found the tight end a lot in training camp this year. Austin Allen has been one of his favorite targets. So when they're kind of in that red zone or over the middle, don't be surprised if Austin Allen comes down with a couple catches on Saturday based on the reports coming out of training camp. The offensive line, to me, remains probably the question of the offense. They've got three solid starters back, Matt Farniak and Brendan Hymus at the tackles. Bo Wilson's a guard at right guard. Your left guard's Trent Hickson, who earned a scholarship this week. Kid out of Omaha Scutt, really unique story. He was offered out of high school by South Dakota. He tried to commit to South Dakota, and then South Dakota told him they were full. And sometimes those FCF schools do that. They overoffer, just trying to get one or, you know, they might have two spots. They might offer 10 guys, and they filled their two spots. So South Dakota turned him away. He had no options. So he said, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to walk on in Nebraska. And he went through the walk-on program now going into his third season. He's earned a scholarship. So Trent Hickson's really, really got a lot of respect on that team with how he's kind of fought through. He was a good wrestler as well at Scutt on the wrestling program. I think he's maybe the best heavyweight they've ever had at Scutt. They haven't had a lot of heavyweights there over the wrestling dominance. A lot of, you know, lower weight guys and middleweight guys. But he was a guy they developed into a really good heavyweight there as well. The center position is probably the biggest question. Cam Jurgens is the starter now. And I think it caught a lot of people by surprise that they named him the starter last week, because nobody really knew what was going on with his health. You know, in high school, he broke his leg. It was a severe injury. I mean, like, the bone was sticking out of his leg. You know, it was one of those type of deals where he took a lot of recovery, and he was able to come back for state track and win state track, shot and disc. And he almost probably shouldn't have done that, but he did. And then, you know, at Nebraska, he went through everything, and then he hurt his foot, broke his foot last year. And then this summer, there was another setback on either that foot or the other foot. They haven't been very clear on that. I've heard both. I've heard it might have been the other foot. So he's experienced a leg injury and foot injuries. And when you add 45 pounds to your body like he's done on those legs, that's a lot of weight to carry and learn how to move athletically with that weight, because Cam has been so athletic and used to moving at a high level. Then you add that 45 pounds and you still think you can run and move at that rate. It takes a while for your body to adapt. And I think that's probably been some of the things he's struggled with some of these injuries. But he's come back strong. I think he's 280 now. He was 285 in the spring. So they've kind of reshaped him, got a little bit more muscle on his frame. And they think he's a difference maker. He's a really good athlete. He's the most athletic center they've had in a while, as far as a center that can make that first block and then run up to the second level and make the other block, maybe get outside to a screen. We haven't had a lot of centers that were athletic enough to get outside and pull on a screen and make that downfield block to get a big play. So they think he's that guy that can really be the athletic center. Now, Will Farniak will be the other center. He's done really well, as you know, and I think they'll both play Saturday. They said they're gonna keep Cameron Jurgens on a pitch count, which means they're gonna try to limit his snaps. If you don't know what that means, they're gonna try to, you know, I don't know how many snaps he'll play. Ethan Piper, too, has been a really impressive freshman. He's the strongest of the true freshmen they've brought in. Don't be surprised if he finds himself on the field. And then Bryce Benhart, the other true freshman out of Minnesota. He was a state champion heavyweight wrestler. He's 6'9", about 320 right now. Well, And he was in high school. He had to keep himself down at 285 to wrestle. So imagine the discipline that took. And Minnesota is a really good wrestling state. So it tells you the kind of athlete he is. So they don't want to say, like, on Binhart if he's going to play. A lot of it depends on how the other guys play and then how he does as well. The beauty is you have a four-game redshirt rule with a guy like Binhart. Because, I mean, there's been some talk, like, let's say Hickson struggles at guard or the center thing is kind of tough. They could reshuffle that line, have a different center. Matt Farniak could play a guard, and then Bryce Binhart could be a tackle. But a lot of that depends on how good Bryce Binhart is. So that will be something to watch over the course of this season. On the defensive side of the ball, I think the defensive line is the real strength right now of the entire team. Today, right now, they're going to play six guys like starters. Khalil and Carlos Davis, who are back for their 25th year, it feels like. Then you've got Darian Daniels, the newcomer. And Darian came from Oklahoma State as a graduate transfer, and you just never know what to expect with the grad transfer, but he has kind of captivated the locker room. For him to come in and be voted a captain as a newcomer, and I think he's added some personality to that room. That was the first thing I saw in the spring. When I watched a scrimmage in April or March, it was April, I guess, I watched, I'm like, man, that Daniels really adds personality and swagger on that defensive line that they didn't have last year. Because Ben Stilley and the Davis twins, they play hard, but they're not, you know, real big on-field personality guys that kind of bring it up a notch. Darian Daniels will do that. So I think he brings it up a notch for everybody with his on-field play. Another cool angle storyline for Saturday, it will be the first time that Carlos and Khalil Davis have started together at Nebraska. Khalil has never started a game at Nebraska. Carlos has started about 26 games. But Khalil was the defensive lineman of the year a year ago for the Huskers. But he's always been number two behind Ben Stilley and Freedom Akamaladun. They decided to start him. So that's kind of cool. They're going in their senior year. They're both going to be starting for the first time since they were in high school together in Missouri. But Ben Stilley is going to play a lot as well. He got a black shirt. And then DeAndre Thomas had a really good camp as well. He got hurt last year, so you don't remember much about him. But Mike Riley played him as a freshman. They probably shouldn't have played him as a freshman. He was 265 pounds on the D-line, and they were playing him on the nose tackle position. So he was going against like 300-and-some-pound offensive lineman, giving up 50 pounds to him. And they moved. You know, they last year he played a little bit, then he got hurt, so they redshirted him. Now he's a solid 295, 300 pounds, and he's had an excellent camp. He's very quick and light on his feet, so he's kind of that sixth guy. I guess Damian Daniels as well, his brother, Darian's brother, he'll be the other guy in that group. But they've got some other guys that you could see play. Jakeem Green is the newcomer they've added out of the junior college ranks. And he showed up and immediately, physically, he looks better than anybody they got on the D-line. But he's only been here for a couple of weeks. So can they get Jakeem ready? And I think the battle they're going to fight all year is it better to just play him four games and let him go? Or does it make sense to play him 20, 25 snaps a game later in the year and will he help us win the Big Ten West? So they're going to have to decide on Jakeem what the end game is. I mean, heck, they might say, you know what, we're going to play in four games, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. You know, we're going to be three of them. And, you know, he might be ready by that point to contribute some good snaps those weeks. But I think he's one of those guys that they could strategically use him in four really good games where you need more horsepower. But some of the games where maybe you don't want to – you want to let younger guys go that you might have a big lead in, you let some of the other guys play instead. So the plan with Jakeem will be interesting. And will he accept a redshirt? Because he was a highly recruited JUCO guy. Maybe he wants to play. And maybe he's like, you know what, coach, I'm okay with a limited role. I want to play. I don't want to sit eight games this year. So we'll see. Ty Robinson, too, though. He's another guy that they could probably play this year, but they don't need to play him this year. So they could play him in four, develop him, redshirt him, and then by next year, Ty Robinson might be a starter. So that will be something to kind of watch as well with Ty and what they do with him as a true freshman. Casey Rogers as well will be somebody they play. Linebacker is probably the thinnest position group, or position at least with the most questions. on the middle, they only have three guys that are really going to play, and that's Muhammad Berry, and then obviously Colin Miller, and then Will Honus. Those three guys will play 95% or more of the snaps. Their fourth guy is Joey Johnson out of Gretna, and then they really don't have a fifth as far as a guy that they're going to play in games. They have a bunch of other guys kind of battling that out, but Jackson Hanna, the true freshman, is not ready yet. Garrett Snodgrass, true freshman, is not ready yet. Nick Henrich is coming off shoulder surgery, so he's not ready. So the inside is a work in progress. They can't afford an injury there. That's the one position on the defense that if one of those top three guys go down, that would be tough. They added Zach Schlager from Colorado State, but he's ineligible. So he'd probably be in that mix right now if he was eligible to play, but he's got to sit out this year. The outside, they've got five guys that are going to play a lot. Alex Davis, they've been very high on him. I'm kind of in the camp. I'll believe it when I see it with him because, you know, he hasn't really proven it yet over the course of his career. I think he played close to 250, 300 snaps last year and only had a couple of tackles. So they need more production out of Alex Davis this year. He got a black shirt, though. Then JoJo Doman, I think he's going to have a pretty big season. He missed a week of camp. He wasn't hurt. It was a deal where they wanted to look at his leg. His father is a longtime sports agent, so they're very, very, you know, knowledgeable about sports injuries and what's going on. He was actually Scott Frost's agent as a player when Scott was a player. And they did some testing on his leg, and just something didn't register right. So the Doman family wanted to get some more tests done because if he suffered another major injury, you know, you're talking who knows what would happen. So they wanted to make sure they understood kind of the ins and outs of his body and how it was working and why it was doing this and that. And that's why he missed a week. But he came back, and he's had a really good showing in training camp. Tyron Ferguson will be in that mix as well. And then Caleb Tanner won a starting job, the sophomore. He's had a very good August, and he's added good weight. He was only about 205 pounds last year, and I think he's added a good 20 pounds in 1 year. So Caleb will be somebody. And then Garrett Nelson, I think he's going to be a fan favorite. He'll be on special teams, the freshman out of Scotts Bluff, but he's got that blonde mullet. I mean, he looks like anyone remember Rocky? I'm trying to think which Rocky that would have been. Rocky V, Tommy the Gun Morrison. He kind of looks like Tommy the Gun Morrison. He's got that curly blonde haired mullet, and he plays with passion, fire, energy. I always tell people when he's that guy when you've watched Wisconsin and Iowa over the years, and there's just that crazy white outside linebacker just flying around, and you're like, why don't we ever have one guy like this ever? And he's that guy that just flies around, plays with passion, plays with energy. So I think fans are going to really like Garrett Nelson and the passion he brings. When he makes a play, I think the stadium's going to explode every time. So they'll get him on the field a little bit this year. We'll see where it goes. He was also a state champion wrestler as a junior, gave it up as a senior so he can enroll early to Nebraska. So they got a number of state champion wrestlers on this football team, you know, going into the season. The secondary is probably one of the other strengths of the defense. They've got about five guys that can really play. Lamar Jackson, DiCaprio Boodle, Cam Taylor, Markel DeSmuke, Deontay Williams. Those five guys are going to probably play a bulk of the snaps. They've got a number of true freshmen they like, but I get the feeling they want to redshirt them all and play them in four games. That's kind of the feel I have today. Quentin Newsom is probably the top guy of those four freshmen right now. I know Travis Fisher is very high on him. Then there's a bunch of walk-ons that could play in that secondary. Isaiah Stalbert out of Kearney, and he's a guy that nearly left the program. He was kind of getting frustrated, and now he's in his second year, and he's listed number two on the depth chart. So Isaiah has really earned a lot of respect in the program. And Eli Sullivan and Reed Carroll as well. They're two walk-ons that are on that depth chart. So pretty good mix. Special teams, I love the return guys. J.D. Spielman's going to do punts. Wandale Robinson and Maurice Washington are return kicks. There's not going to be very many fair catches with those two guys back there. So that's got to improve. Nebraska only averaged 15.8 yards per kick return last year. Their long kick return on the season was just 31 yards. So they've got to get better in the kick return game. And yeah, I think some of it was confidence back there. And the quality of players on special teams has to improve too. I heard a really, really interesting stat, like on Nebraska's kick coverage team last year, when opposing teams caught the ball, we were on the 30-yard line at that point. When you watch Ohio State and Michigan, the same special teams units, their guys are on the 25-yard line. So that just gives you a snapshot of maybe the level of athletes the top of the Big Ten had versus what we had on special teams. And that matters. Those yards matter in points in a game. I mean, it's the difference between 3 to 7, if not more, points a game with field position and other things like that. So they've got to get that better. The kicker, Barrett Pickering, this isn't out there yet, but he's been battling kind of a hip flexor injury. So that's something to watch Saturday. If he doesn't kick for some odd reason, Dylan Jorgensen, a true freshman, might be the kicker. So we'll see kind of if Barrett's hip thing is bothering him or if he kicks in this game. You're the only people I've told this to, so keep it a secret. That was just the scuttlebutt going around. Nobody asked Frost about it today. I should have told Robin at practice to ask about that, but Frost doesn't address injuries anyway, so I don't know if he would have addressed that on that deal. And then the punter is Isaac Armstrong. He's back, but William Pristep is a transfer from Michigan State. He started 4 games in Michigan State. So they've got, if Armstrong struggles, and he kind of had a shaky spring, if he struggles, they'll give Pristep an opportunity immediately. They still have 2 more scholarships to award. They're going to probably decide on that this week. I think Armstrong is one of those guys in contention. I think Wyatt Mazur, I think the long snapper Chase Urbach is probably in contention as well, but they've got 2 more to hand out. So that's a snapshot of all the positions and what's going on.